Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Nerdiest Podcast in the Midwest, an episode where KO is actually prepared and we're actually talking about something that he wants to talk about for a change here on the Midwestern Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Stoffel, joined by my partner in crime, who I've already kind of introduced, but I'm going to let him say his name anyway.
I am Groot, subtitles, KO Kyle Olson.
We are the Midwestern Nerds. That's MIDWESTERNERDS. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter while it's still lasting at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to MidwesternNerds@gmail.com. You cannot find us on any other social media like Mastodon or any other social media type app that might happen to pop up within the near future. We're sticking to these for now, as long as Twitter's still around.
I suppose we can go back to MySpace if we need to.
Is that still a thing?
I don't know.
God, that would be the one where I'd be like, okay, if that made a comeback, maybe. Because then we could put one of the two great songs that are in this special feature that we're about to talk about on our wall or whatever it was called. I don't know. I never had a MySpace. I was like, I was right around that age where like I was almost too young for it. Dial up was a bitch. So you can find and stream and listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. This week, we're going to be talking about a few trailers that came out last week that we didn't get the chance to talk about. Everybody seemed to want to dump their trailers at the same time to compete with Disney, because Disney was at the Brazil Comic Con. I don't know the exact name for it, but it's starting to be like the international version of San Diego Comic Con, and Disney and Marvel and Lucasfilm and all them tend to drop big stuff at this Comic-Con, which they did last week. We're going to talk about some of that stuff. We're going to jump into the holiday special, Guardians of the Galaxy. We're going to give you some best stuff. It's going to be a good time. So let's just jump right into it. Kyle, I know I already asked you this before we started to record, so let me rephrase the question in: why haven't you watched any of these trailers that I am about to talk about here on this podcast?
So the two that you are referring to for the podcast listeners out there are Transformers and Indiana Jones. Those two I have not watched simply because I haven't been into Transformers since Shia LaBeouf was part of the franchise. And even then I was just watching them because it was cool explosions. I was a child, you know.
Plus the Sports Illustrated swimsuit models or Victoria's Secret models that happened to be co-hosts with Shia LaBeouf.
Listen, co-star. Megan Fox will get me onto any screen, really. Let's see here. Indiana Jones. I am kind of ashamed to say I don't think I've ever actually seen Indiana Jones or any of the Indiana Jones films. Just never crossed my viewing somehow. So I, again, something that wasn't really too exciting for me when they announced the trailer. However, the third one that I will let you talk about first, because I'm actually pretty excited for this one. They're promoting it very heavily. I haven't sat down and actually watched the trailer yet. Again, my life has been consumed by Guardians of the Galaxy for the past 2 weeks. So that's actually kind of understandable, but I'm very excited to hear you talk about this one, because I'll probably watch the trailer as soon as we're done recording.
The trailer that he is referring to is the trailer for a little movie coming out in February, a few short weeks before Quantumania, Cocaine Bear. Yes, this is an actual movie. The crazy thing is it's based on true events. It's based on an actual true story about a drug run gone wrong and a black bear eating an entire brick of cocaine and the chaos that ensued after that. I was very interested in this movie hearing that premise. I was pretty excited leading up to this trailer. Watching this trailer, I kind of have some mixed thoughts. I am still very interested in it. I don't know what I was expecting out of this trailer. I think I was expecting it to be like a comedy where you'd get like a couple, at least a couple, like big name celebrity, like comedians in this movie to play a role in this ridiculous story. It's directed by Elizabeth Banks, who did like the Pitch Perfect movies. And there's another movie that she did, Charlie's Angels, I think, which that's nothing to really brag about, but she's a great actress. She's a pretty good Hunger director. Games. Yep. She was, she starred in the Hunger Games movies with, Jennifer Lawrence. The only actor that I recognized in this trailer was Carrie Russell, which even that is like, okay. The CGI on the bear is not great. It definitely looks like a cartoon bear running around. They've got a couple months yet to maybe finish up some CGI, which, you know, hopefully can clean it up a little bit better.
Listen, I need to interject at the CGI point here. Where are all the people that were pissed about the She-Hulk CGI? That's all I need to know. So many people were pissed. Why'd they put out the trailer so early? It's not finished. Well, come on, Cocaine Bear fans. Where are you at? I'm just kidding. I'm obviously joking.
It's one of those things where...
It's Marvel compared to an indie film.
I was going to say, this in no means is a big movie coming out. And maybe that's where I'm like sitting at the mixed thoughts about it, because a comedy like this, I think of like Logan Lucky that had like Daniel Craig and Adam Driver in it. And I forget what it's called. The heist movie that had Zach Galifianakis and Kristen Wiig. And I want to say Matthew McConaughey was in there.
Oh, God.
It was big on Netflix for a while, but like that was both of those were based on true events too, and they were like a comedy movie. And maybe that's where I was thinking this movie would be more along the lines of. It's definitely an indie comedy feeling, based off the trailer. So maybe I just need to like skew my expectations a little bit better with that. I'll probably see it, especially if reviews come out shortly before the movie drops and people love it, like critics love it. I'll probably check it out then. A trailer that I wasn't expecting a whole lot from, and I didn't even know they were going to drop, Transformers Rise of the Beasts. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me 2, 3, 4, 5 times, shame on me. You only caught me 4 times. I didn't see the last Transformers movie, The Last Night or whatever it was called. Bumblebee was actually pretty good. But overall, I really liked the first Transformers movie. I have a soft spot for Dark of the Moon. A lot of people, that was like the third Shia LaBeouf one. A lot of people throw a lot of hate at that movie, and I found a bit more to enjoy from it than most. But Transformers hasn't been very big. Then this trailer comes out, and they tap into the nostalgia of Beast Wars, which was the Transformers that I grew up with. That was my generation, Fox Kids, Saturday mornings, the Beast Wars, my all-time favorite Beast War, Cheetor, makes an appearance in the movie. We don't get to see his robot form, but we see his cheetah form, his beast form. Say what you will about the movies, the Transformers put out great trailers, and this is a great trailer. It has like an almost like Endgame, like rushing into the final battle moment at the end of the trailer, where like both sides are like coming rushing together. A lot of good stuff. I'm actually excited for it. If the trailers turn out to be as good as this first one, I'll probably go and see it. I was pleasantly surprised with it. So if you haven't checked that one out. And the last trailer that we'll talk about for now is Indiana Jones 5, The Dial of Destiny. I am going to surprise Kyle when I say this. I'm not as big into Indiana Jones as I feel like I should be. The only one that I've seen in its entirety is the worst one, 4, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I've seen bits and pieces of Raider. And the 3 times that I went to Disney World, one of my favorite attractions there was the Indiana Jones show that they had. So the fact that I love that and never actually went and visited the movies is kind of saying something. But this trailer makes me excited. It makes me want to go and watch those movies. They're currently all on Paramount Plus, which I am currently subscribed to. So I might check them out before this movie comes out. With the Dial of Destiny, you can kind of gather from the trailer that they're going to do either flashbacks or time travel. And they do like a younger Harrison Ford, which some people, like the 2 seconds that you saw the young Indiana Jones, some people were like, oh, that was awful. I didn't see what they saw because I thought it looked phenomenal. I was like, that is Harrison Ford from like 1978.
And all I noticed when I saw those screenshots was, oh, so we're going to get Han Solo in the next season of Mandalorian. That's what.
Maybe. Maybe. But I'm excited for this movie. More excited than I thought I would be. Let's just hope that they nail the landing. The only criticism that I'll give this trailer is just like with Cocaine Bear, I hope that they take the next 7 months and clean up some of the CGI, because there were a lot of scenes, especially the flashback scenes, that looked almost cartoony to me. I felt like I was watching a cutscene from a video game. And I was like, oh, that's not good. So they've got time to clean it up, and I hope that they do. But the action looks great. Harrison Ford at age 80 is a lot more active than I am at age 31. Even just looking at those trailers, the fact that he's always getting injured in his old age on set with the last Star Wars movie that he was in, and now this Indiana Jones movie too, like I can understand it, because he's doing a lot more things that, like I said, at age 80 that he's doing that I wouldn't be caught doing right now at age 31. So
speaking of Indiana Jones and video game graphics, shout out to Epic Rap Battles of History. Their most recent rap battle was Indiana Jones versus Lara Croft, and it was a very good battle. So go check that out.
Nice. So those are the 3 big trailers that came out last week, minus one that we'll talk about after our next topic. Kyle, why don't you steer the ship and bring us into this, since you've basically had this playing on loop for the last 2 weeks.
I have genuinely watched this at least 5 times over the past 2 weeks, including earlier today. So we are going to be talking, of course, about the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, streaming now on Disney Plus. One of James Gunn's final projects with Marvel Studios, including Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which we will be talking about a little bit later. I think myself and a lot of Marvel fans were extremely excited for this. This is only the second Marvel special presentation that we're getting after one Werewolf. There it is. Couldn't think of the. I was going to say One Night Werewolf. That's a video, or that's a board game. Come on, KO. I think everyone was excited for this. I think everyone was just waiting to see James Gunn do another project in the MCU. Because to me, this felt like the Guardians getting back to what the Guardians are. Like, they have the Guardians of the Galaxy have not felt like themselves since Volume 2. Like in Infinity War, Endgame, and in Love and Thunder, it just hasn't, like, they've been there, of course, and they've been the comedic effect, but they haven't really felt like themselves. You could tell that this was a James Gunn project, and the Guardians were back to who they were. So, yeah. Do you want to give some general thoughts before we really dive into this?
Sure. I'm going to jump right off the bat and disagree with that last comment you said. I felt like the Guardians have felt like the Guardians mostly after Volume 2, except for Love and Thunder, because that whole movie was basically a cartoon comedy. And they weren't really in it a whole lot to really make an to say whether or not they were like whether they felt like Guardian, like the true Guardians of the Galaxy or not. I could almost say the same thing about Endgame. I mean, the two Guardians that we get the most of in that movie are Nebula and Rocket, and the rest of them like have bits and pieces like spread throughout the movie and then like have a little bit to do at the end. Infinity War, that felt Guardians to me. Like their whole, it felt Guardians but taken more seriously. And I found out not too long ago that James Gunn, even though he was fired from Marvel at the time, was very involved with their bits and pieces in Infinity War. He wrote their scenes and he was on set during the filming of them. So like, yes, he was fired, but he was very much involved in their contributions in Infinity War. So I felt like they felt like true Guardians in that movie. So I'm going to disagree with you there. I enjoyed this special quite a bit. I don't think I enjoyed it as much as like a lot of the very loud people online. A lot of them saying that this is like one of the best Guardians things, like, period. And I'm like, I wouldn't go that far. Some people being like, this is the best Christmas special of all time. And I'm like, I don't think I'd go that far either. Most of it worked for me. There were moments of Guardians Volume 2 humor in here where I was like, that didn't quite work with me. Some of the stuff with Drax and Mantis didn't quite work for me, and they have a big chunk of this special. But otherwise, I very much enjoyed it. I felt really dumb during the special, though. And I would even rope in from seeing that first that trailer for the special all the way through halfway through watching the special. I felt kind of dumb because I was like, when they revealed in the trailer that they got Kevin Bacon to be in this, I was like, I cannot believe they got him. Like, they actually convinced him to be in this. I can't believe they actually got him on board. And it wasn't until halfway through the special when the clouds parted and I was like, oh, I'm a fucking idiot. Of course Kevin Bacon would agree to doing this. And it makes sense that James Gunn has all the Kevin Bacon jokes sprinkled in throughout the Guardians, because Kevin Bacon was in one of James Gunn's first feature films, Super, with Rainn Wilson. He was the villain of that movie. I completely forgot about that until like halfway through the special. And I was like, oh, duh, of course. Like, he's worked with James Gunn before. He probably helped James Gunn early on in his career to become what he is now. Of course he would be on board for this. So, yeah, it was great to have him in this. And I'll turn it back over to you.
No, because that's a great point, because we see that a lot throughout this special, where we see James Gunn likes to take care of the people he works with, either by giving them work as extras or just by randomly shouting them out on a celebrity house map. So I think I'm going to just kind of quickly go through the general plot of this. You can feel free to interrupt me at any time, and then we can go over some specifics, some bigger overarching things that may lead into the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 trailer that we're going to talk about after this. But we open up with, obviously, the Marvel logo. It's Christmas comics because, yes, Santa is actually canon, is in the Marvel comic universe.
I fucking loved that. There's been a number of, like, winter, Christmas, holiday-themed Marvel comics, and the fact that, like, those were the panels that showed up in the Marvel logo, I was like, yes, hell yes. I was instantly on board.
And as always, as a super Marvel nerd as myself, they update the Marvel logo every time. This time they did add in She-Hulk, and they added in Star-Lord, where they normally have Gamora next to him as well. So they I think they subliminally like put those two close to each other. I thought that was kind of cool. And they also added in Shuri saying Wakanda Forever from the movie Wakanda Forever. So
they added in Shuri saying Wakanda Forever from
you know, Wakanda from, Forever.
Jersey City for Life, the movie.
Oh my goodness. So we open up on a flashback done in an animation style, Roto film, I believe it was called. There's been a couple older movies done in this style. James Gunn, obviously very attached to this older style, like some Star Wars and some Lord of the Rings style presentations done in this animation, like 6 frames per second. It looks like it was made, but it actually was done pretty well, where Peter Quill was celebrating Christmas with Kraglin, and Yondu comes in and kind of destroys it and says, this isn't the Ravager way, pretty much. So then we cut to Kraglin. He's the one who's telling this story. It's coming from his perspective to the rest of the Guardians, saying how Yondu kind of killed Christmas for Peter for the rest. So the kind of establishing that was Peter's last Christmas since he got abducted from Earth. So kind of building the stakes for the rest of this episode, or for the rest of the special. We then cut to Peter. So Peter's kind of like managing their new home base, which is the planet Nowhere, which is the head of a former Celestial, which I think is pretty big. I think we're going to talk about that later. That's one of the big kind of reveals in this special that we're going to be talking about for Guardians Volume 3. But he's, you know, he's managing. They're trying to rebuild the city. We get introduced to Cosmo the space dog, where she's trying to help Rocket put up some grates. Fucking love Cosmo. I'm very excited for her to be part of this world.
I love that she's a part of the team now. Yep. Cosmo is fucking great. A lot of the hardcore comic nerds were all the way back during Guardians 1, we're like, where's Cosmo? When are we going to get Cosmo? Is Cosmo ever going to be a part of the team? And yeah, Cosmo showed up in the post-credit of Volume 1 with Howard the Duck. And that's like the only time that we've really seen Cosmo. She was in one of the cases, right?
She was in one of the collector cases. But then in the end credit for Volume 2, I believe. Maybe it's in the end credit of Volume 1 when the collector's place is kind of destroyed and she walks up and licks a collector's face. I can't remember which movie that is. I think it's 1.
I think that was 1, because then that's when... Yeah, because that was when...
Yeah, because Howard is 3 and 2, so it has to be, yeah.
Yep.
And also in What If. I think she returns to Earth with the humans in What If.
Which I would not be disappointed if Howard the Duck showed up in Volume 3. Please. To have like a bigger role than just a cameo.
Agreed.
Especially because, remind me to bring him back up again when we get into Guardians 3 trailer talk.
I will try. but the overarching thing is, you know, the Guardians feel bad. They want to try to cheer up Peter because he's feeling bad about Gamora still. Now that Gamora is part of this universe still. Don't know why she wasn't snapped back with the rest of Thanos' people, but that's a plot hole we won't talk about.
They'll probably address that in Volume 3. I hope so too,
but I don't know how they can. That's something we can talk about unless at a future date. I really don't know.
The only thing that I can think of is if she did end up getting sent back somehow.
But she walks away. No, because in that deleted scene of everyone kneeling for Tony, she walks away.
That's a deleted scene. That's not
okay, but
but
she's still there.
Let's just say she does get finds her way back to her normal time. She's now got knowledge of the future and knows that she doesn't make it out, so that could ultimately alter history.
But that's a separate branch time. There's some complicated things that we could get into.
Yes, exactly.
some of the Guardians kind of disperse, and we're left with Mantis and Drax talking, and Mantis reveals that she is the son of the daughter of Ego. She is Peter Quill's sister. So she feels a special obligation to make this Christmas season special for Peter. So Drax hatches the idea to gift Peter Kevin Bacon for Christmas. So Drax and Mantis journey to Earth to go find Kevin Bacon. They land in somewhere in Hollywood where they meet a bunch of impersonators. Mantis thinks that she sees Steve Rogers and she gives him a big hug, and the actor runs away scared. I thought it was hilarious. They also encountered Captain Jack Sparrow, Natasha Romanoff, Captain Marvel, I believe, some GoBots, and I can't remember who else, but they ended up also getting, they were mistaken for impersonators. Someone thought that Drax was the God of War, which I thought was very funny. In the background of this scene, you could see movie posters starring Kingo from the Eternals. Yes. So obviously there's still plans for them in the future. So then they get a bunch of money because they're impersonators, right? So then they go to a bar. They're asking where Kevin Bacon is.
I just want to jump in and say one of my favorite jokes in this whole special was the fact that Drax has the beef with the GoBot. And that's because Mantis is like, GoBot's killed his brother. And then that montage of them like getting the money from doing like the photos and whatnot ends with him beating up the GoBot. Oh, that was like one of my favorite parts of this whole special, was the fact that GoBots are now MCU canon.
Yep.
And B, they're responsible for killing
the death of Drax's cousin, I believe.
Cousin. I think it would be so funny if we saw actual GoBots in Volume 3. You can't introduce like they killed part of his family and just like ignore that for the rest of the time, kind of like we unfortunately did with Drax and Thanos and all that. So
if you can remind me, I will try to remind you later. If you can, of Howard the Duck, if you remind me of GoBots later, I actually just thought of something that could maybe work.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, so they go to the bar. They're taking shots. Someone has, I really appreciated the people coming up to Drax asking him to dance. And he's saying, Drax saying that is for people who are pathetic. I thought that was very good. Cameo from Flula Borg, I believe his name is, from the Suicide Squad. Again, James Gunn friend.
I love, too, that you can definitely, like, they don't fully come out and say it, but you can tell from these scenes and, like, when Drax is approached to dance that they're in a gay bar. Like, they are in a gay bar, and that guy was trying to pick up Drax.
I mean, you could tell the way he walked up to him, and then the way he's like, okay, you don't want to dance, let's take some shots then. You know, like, there was absolutely, yes. So then after that, they obviously had a great time at the bar, because then we cut to them on the curb where Mantis is wearing sunglasses and Drax is just basically asleep. They're complaining because they don't know where Kevin Bacon is. And some random lady just says, oh, here's a map of where the stars live. That's $40. But Mantis uses her powers to take the map and to steal the woman's money. I love that. We actually learn a lot about Mantis in this special, and we get to actually do a deeper dive into the Mantis character and her powers and everything, which is kind of cool.
This was one of my few issues with the special.
Okay.
The fact that I understand Mantis and Drax like going to get Kevin Bacon.
Mm-hmm.
To be the Christmas present for Peter. And I understand that they don't fully understand Earth culture to its fullest.
But she at one point says there are tens of thousands of people on this planet. So that's how much she understands Earth.
But there are parts of this time where they're on Earth. And her getting the map is one of them where they're easily painted as villains. Like they're not good people.
No.
Like these are our heroes that we're supposed to be.
Isn't that the Guardians though?
Yes and no.
That's always the Guardians. They're misunderstood and they're mischievous. I mean, especially Rocket. Anyway, yes. They get the map, which while they're traveling on the map on the screen, we get pictures of Margot Robbie and John Cena from the Suicide Squad, obviously. So John Cena is now canon in the MCU, which I think is awesome. I can't remember the other actors who were on that map. Not really as big of a deal. But then they find out where Kevin Bacon lives. They go to Kevin Bacon's house. They try to just use his intercom system, but he obviously won't answer. So they jump over the gate. They go up to his front door. He still won't answer. He starts to call the cops, and Drax breaks through the front door.
He also throws Mantis over the gate as she's like, can you help me over? And he just like throws her.
And then he effortlessly jumps over the gate where he obviously could have just grabbed her and they both could have jumped over.
Yes. Like,
hilarious. And they both obviously, Mantis falls in love with the candy cane, which she grabs and she is holding the rest of the way until later. But Drax falls in love with the little green man. I thought was hilarious. At some point he drops him. I don't know. I want to find out when. But yes, Kevin Bacon runs away from these aliens. Obviously, he's being kidnapped at this point. So obviously, he's going to run away. As we get the song, I Want an Alien for Christmas, which I thought was James Gunn, obviously killing it with the music again. They chase him down. They get Kevin Bacon runs towards the police where Drax and Mantis then follow, and the police start shooting Drax and it tickles him, which one of my favorite scenes is just Drax laughing at being shot. I don't know why. There was just something about Dave Bautista's laugh is just so funny to me. But then we get to see Mantis in some real action. Like, she is actually a really skilled fighter. I was really impressed. Like, this looked really cool. And she incorporates her powers into her fighting, where she kind of incapacitates people, but then she puts them to sleep. I thought that was really cool. But then Drax just straight up flips over a squad car, almost like you would assume not killing, but, you know, at least injuring some people. It turns out they were fine. Mantis goes to check on them, gives them the candy cane as a gesture of goodwill, I guess. But then they ultimately they find Kevin Bacon again. She uses her powers to convince him to come with, and they go into a Christmas gift shop to decorate the ship and to bring Christmas decorations back to nowhere.
The candy cane and the elf were part of the humor that I was like, okay, this was good at first, but we're stretching it a little too far with the comedy part.
I think if I can dive into something real quick, because you just brought that up, I thought that too, because there's this very awkward scene during the Kevin Bacon chase scene where Drax is like, hey, I dropped my little green guy. I need to go back and get him. And Mantis clearly is like, no, I have mine. And Drax says, why do you get to keep yours and I don't get to keep mine? And Mantis says, well, I was smart enough to hold on, or I was something along the lines of I held on to mine. It was such a like pointed and almost like vague quote from Mantis. I feel like this is going to play into Guardians 3. And again, I will dive into more deeply because I don't want to talk too much about that yet. But like, I have a theory going into this, and it actually ties into the Cobots as well. Surprisingly, I have this whole Drax theory for Volume 3 that we'll dive more into. But I agree. I think it felt forced, but I think it's forced for a reason. So
yeah, it felt forced and it felt awkward, and that was one of like the jokes that felt very much Guardians 2. That was like, okay, this has gone a little too long. Like, you could tell that they were improvising, and it was like, okay, let's just wrap this up. And like, sometimes like their humor, like in this special, it's like, you are children. Like, this is how children would react. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's, I don't know, for some, like, that it doesn't work for me. So that was one of the ones where I was like, oh, come on, like, let's keep going. So yeah, one of the humor parts where I was like, eh.
Yeah. So we get Kevin Bacon up into space. They realize he's an actor, and they're disgusted by this because actors are repugnant, I think they said. I don't know. I thought that was really funny. It's a true character trait for Drax to hate people who lie and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But eventually they decorate nowhere in the whole city to Christmas, where they can kind of bring Peter in and he's surprised by all the decorations going up. It's really cool. Mantis is like, hey, this is happy, you know, Merry Christmas from all of us. And then they wheel out the present and Peter's got this huge smile on his face until the present starts fucking moving and he realizes there's a person in there.
Well, that, I mean, Kevin Bacon says something along the lines of like, it's getting hard to breathe in here.
There's no air holes. It's hard to breathe. Yeah, so Peter opens the present. It's Kevin Bacon. And Peter's like, what's going on? And they're like, we got you, Kevin Bacon, as a gift. This whole scene is fucking hilarious. Peter then realizes that Mantis used her powers on Kevin Bacon, so he wants her. He also tells them, hey, this isn't a Christmas present. This is human trafficking.
not cool.
Not cool. Mantis gets Kevin Bacon out of the trance. He freaks out, of course. Peter calls for Kraglin to get the ship called? Shoot.
The Bowie.
Thank you. I couldn't think of the artist. I was going through so many artists in my head there. Get the Bowie, get the ship ready so that he can bring Kevin Bacon back to Earth. Kevin Bacon runs away. Nebula says, you can't escape me, Bacon, or something along those lines. It was very funny. You can't outrun me, Bacon. I thought that was amazing. Yeah, so then Kraglin's about to bring him back. He basically tells Kevin Bacon how much of an inspiration he was to Peter. And Kevin Bacon kind of changes his mind. He says, hey, I need to stay here. His wife calls him Kyra. I can't remember. Kira? Can't remember her last. I didn't know who he was married to. I didn't know his wife. Big role in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, actually. Madeline Wunsch. Didn't know that was...
Oh, I didn't know that that was his wife either. Yep, I didn't know who the actress was, but I did find out that, like, that was actually his wife that he was talking to, like, in real life during these scenes. And
yeah, she voiced herself. And, of course, me being me, I have to know who everyone is in these movies. So I dug in. I was like, oh, my God, you're in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So Kevin Bacon decides that he has to stay on Nowhere and he has to help these people realize what Christmas is. So he puts on a song with the members of the old 97s, which had a song earlier in the episode as well.
I liked the first song more than the Kevin Bacon song.
I like both songs.
Both were good. I liked the first one more just because it was aliens singing about Christmas and they had no idea what Christmas was, and just the myths and the lore that they made up about Christmas, I thought was brilliant.
Because I love the fact they established that it was Kraglin talking to Cosmo, talking to Rocket, talking to this singer. So it's like it's a game of telephone, right? But it's also there's hints of Rocket in almost all of these, where Rocket is this cynical guy who just obviously doesn't understand Earth culture. There's hints of him in all of these different...
Or he does, and he's just being Rocket and being like, I'm gonna put my own little twist on this.
Just fucking with him too. That could be.
Yeah. The Kevin Bacon song with the old 97, if you go on YouTube, they actually performed it live on the Tonight Show a couple nights ago. So that live performance is up on YouTube. So just go Tonight Show Jimmy Fallon.
During that performance on the special as well, Nebula dancing through the entire thing, fucking hilarious. If you ever, next time, if you watch it,
I think I missed her.
If you watch it again, just watch Nebula every time there's the actual performance and there's the crowd, right? She's just doing her own thing, and she's so focused on the music and so funny.
I was going to say, they did do like a single shot of her at one point, because I remember it was very awkward and weird.
Yes. It is honestly one of my favorite things to watch during this scene. It's just her, it's very intently dancing. It's so good. Yes, and they all hand out presents to each other. This is a typical Christmas special where everyone gets together and it's Christmas and they're giving presents.
The presents is my favorite part of this whole special.
I think one I'm sure you
Yes, because I think I texted you after I watched it, and I was like, best part of the whole special.
Yes. Let's
all,
see here.
All of them were pretty great, though.
Yes, because Star-Lord, in typical Guardians fashion, are way behind the times, and he gives Groot a Game Boy Color. Not even a Game Boy Advance yet. We're still at the Game Boy
Color. The original Game Boy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it wasn't even a Color. You're right. Yeah, it was the original Game Boy. Yep, they're still very behind the times on that, but it's an upgrade from his Defender game or whatever he was playing before. Let's see here. Cosmo gives Kraglin a dead creature. I can't remember what the creature's called, but I thought that was just the dog innocently giving you a dead animal as a gift. Yep, I thought it was fucking hilarious. Is there any other one? Groot's was very good, too. We could talk about Groot's, but we got to save Nebula's for last.
Yes,
Groot's gift was a shot remakes of things that have happened in this series. It's so weird. And the last one being the best one being Kraglin opening his gift of Kraglin, opening his gift of Kraglin. Like he went like 6 or 7 layers deep.
Yeah.
I love the actor of Kraglin. I believe Sean Gunn doing the big cheesy smile like the action figure was. It's so good.
There are some podcasts that I listen to where they like go back and talk about like things that they watch, and they do like deep dives and all of that. But there's one that I listen to where one of their segments is like props or things from like the movie or show that they would love to like have in real life. And for me, I'm torn between Nebula's gift and Kraglin's gift from Groot, because I think that would be fun to have too.
Any of the gifts from Groot, but yeah, especially the Drax flipping the car one, because the cops in the car with the bulging eyes was really funny to me.
Oh, I loved the Kraglin, opening the Kraglin.
So good.
I would go with that one if I had to pick between any
of those. Such a good gag. I absolutely love that. And I love the fact, because it's established in the I Am Groot short series, that he's actually a very creative, artistic kind of guy. So he's going to make these himself as Christmas presents. But then, yes, we get to Nebula's gift for Rocket, which is Bucky's arm. What? How does this work? We need to talk about this, obviously.
I don't care. I just love it. And I love it. I love it because A, it's funny. And I love it because B, it's actually like really deep if you think about it.
Yes,
because
super.
If you think about it, Nebula and Rocket are probably the closest in relationship wise for the Guardians because of Endgame. They were the only two Guardians that didn't get snapped away. They were together for those 5 years. The fact that she gave Rocket that arm, she knows that that's like the one thing that Rocket wanted the most, and she goes out of her way. It doesn't matter how she got it. The point is she got it.
Not only that, but in the first Guardians movie, he jokingly says, I need that guy's prosthetic leg. In the second movie, he says, I need your eye. And then Infinity War, in the battle, he jokingly says to Bucky, oh, how much for the arm? It's not for sale. I'll get that arm. Like, it's a recurring theme with Rocket, and he eventually got it. Ugh.
And so I love it too, because I don't really like the design of Bucky's new vibranium arm. It's too black for me. Like I'm the classic, like, give me the silver arm, and that looks more, it looks too black for me. So I'm like, give that one to Rocket and give me like a closer looking like silver arm. Give me like the white star, or like if he was Bucky Cap, you'd have the half cap shield on there, which I'd love that too, but he's not Bucky Cap yet. So
I'm so intrigued, because Nebula obviously knows. No, because Bucky was dusted too. I don't know. I've been wrapping my brain around this forever, and I don't know how this happened, but I'm excited to see a throwaway line somewhere in a future movie. Well, how this happened.
James Gunn got a little bit of flack from like butthurt hardcore fans on Twitter. And he basically said, like, as soon as she found out that they were doing like the Christmas thing and they were doing the presents, she went to Earth and got the arm. Like, that's all you need to know. That's all that matters. So,
but what did she just walk up to? Did she just walk up to Bucky and say, "Hey, can I have your arm?" Or did she steal it from him? Because then
I'm gonna go with,
are the Wakandans gonna come after Rocket because they have a vibranium arm now?
I'm gonna go and use one of your favorite things, headcanon.
Yeah.
My headcanon is, because Nebula herself is like a cyborg, she's clearly got knowledge of robotics.
Correct.
So my headcanon is, she went to Earth, she waited until Bucky went to sleep, she used her cyborg knowledge to figure out how to get his arm off, because as we saw in Falcon Winter Soldier, if you know the technique, it's very easy to get Bucky's arm off. And she took it in his sleep, and he woke up and no arm. Or take out the complications, she waited until he went to sleep, maybe he sleeps with his arm on. So if he took his arm off in his sleep, she waited until he went to sleep, took his arm.
Do you want to know my headcanon?
He wakes up, he's like, where the fuck's my arm? He don't know that Nebula stole it or that the Guardians have it. He just knows that his arm is gone. And now he's in deep shit with Wakanda because he lost their vibranium arm.
I do like that's good. I like that. Do you want to know my headcanon?
Yes.
Nebula and Bucky are fucking.
I would be okay with that.
Right? I agree. Anyway.
I'll put it this way. I'll be okay with it until Thunderbolts. Because one of the things that...
He could get into... Okay, so here's a fun little thing about Bucky. The arm that he always has is like the quote-unquote people who have control of him, right? So like obviously the Soviet arm, and then he's got the Wakandan arm. Well, he had the Wakandan arm, and then he had like... which is actually the only two people who quote-unquote control over him. So like, is he going to get a new arm for the Thunderbolts? From fucking Valentina. Like, I think that's a valid answer, actually.
Yeah, but putting all arm shit aside, I'll ship Nebula and Bucky until Thunderbolts, because the one issue that I've always had with the MCU, like my biggest like moment, is the fact that they didn't have Bucky and Natasha together before they axed her. So now that we have Yelena, you take that relationship and give it to her instead, especially since now they're going to be on the same team in the movie together. If you give me that, I can forgive the Black Widow thing. But until then, like, they teased it in Civil War with a really quick, like, 2-second line from Natasha, where I was like, I got me super excited, because that's one of my favorite, like, comic book relationships is Bucky and Natasha's. Yeah. The fact that they were like, no, we're not going to do that because we killed her off. So I was very butthurt about that. But now that we're introducing Yelena as like the new Black Widow and we're putting them on a team together, give me the Natasha Bucky from the comics and give it to Yelena. I ship them over Nebula.
The disapproving dad in the movie. David Harbour just being so disgusted with it too.
Yes.
Oh my god, that could be really good television. Yes. Oh my god.
So
anyway,
I'll say this: Bucky and Nebula can be hookup buddies.
Yeah.
For a while. Maybe Bucky dumps Nebula in a way she doesn't like, and so she takes the arm out of spite. She got close enough to figure out either how to get the arm off the Wakanda style, or she just took it after they hooked up and he passed out.
All I'm going to say is, when she gives Rocket the arm, she looks disgusted in herself. She almost is like, she's just like, Merry Christmas. You don't know what I had to go through to get that. To like, that's the look on her face.
But the look on his face is like,
he's so excited.
That's the best gift he's ever gotten in his entire life, which then again makes that moment like, it's funny. But it adds that wholesome layer to it at the same time, where those two have got to have like a scene or two together in volume 3 to show that relationship, that kinship that they have, especially if, and we'll get to it, but if they do with Rocket what I think they're going to do.
I mean, there's a perfect connection, without going too much into it, there's a perfect connection of them both being worked on. you know, scientifically. Like, there's an easy connection there where they both are, they kind of feel sympathy for each other. So, to finish out the special, they stop celebrating. Kevin Bacon's about to go back to Earth. He basically turns around and says, "Hey, I'll see you fucking Easter," which we'll get to that in a second as well. But he goes back to Earth. Mantis finally reveals to Peter that she is his sister, and he is, I mean, over the moon, obviously. He said, "This is the best Christmas present I could have ever asked for." They hug. Very special moment. Very awesome. We then, he also reveals that Kraglin doesn't know how the Christmas story with Yondu ends, where Yondu, we see him going back to the remains of the Christmas that he destroyed back when Peter was still young. He opens the present that Peter got him, and it was one of the first little trinkets that he started collecting on the dashboard of his ships. And I thought that was a very cool thing. So Yondu ended up giving Peter his first gift since he got abducted from Earth, which were his blasters that we have seen throughout all of the Guardians in the MCU. So I thought that was, again, super cool. Just not only are these guns like Peter's like signature guns, but there's a sentimental value to them as well now too. Going, if anyone goes back and watches, you're like, "Oh my God, Yondu got those guns." And then we end on a post-credit scene, right? I don't think I'm forgetting anything else, where they're decorating Groot as a Christmas tree and he gives up and all the decorations fall off of him. And Cosmo says, "Groot ruined Christmas." And Rocket says, "Looks like we're going to need another special." The fact that Kevin Bacon said, "See you at Easter," and then they said, "We need another special." I know James Gunn is leaving, but like, why would they tease another special? I mean, obviously, I think Easter is going to tie into Guardians 3, which we'll get into again, because, I mean, Adam Warlock could be seen as Jesus. But, like, I don't know. The fact that they mentioned another special is very telling to me. Maybe they'll be doing many holiday specials with the Guardians, even after James Gunn leaves.
Ten hat theory.
Sure.
Ten hat theory here. What if, I know he said, "Looks like we got to do another special." What if that special isn't like a special, like a Disney Plus special, but what if it's like a secret special surprise? We're moving Guardians from May 5th to Easter weekend, which would be April 7th.
You think they would move it a month up? They like just announced wouldn't they announce May 7th as, or April 7th as the, because like what? Just 2 days ago, they announced the date. I see what you're... Yeah. That
surprise! They did that with Endgame. They moved that up a week. They moved it up a week, and they announced it like 2 weeks before.
I don't remember that at all. I think... I think it means that Kevin Bacon is going to be in Volume 3 in some capacity, even if it's a little something.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Which
maybe I don't know. A full month is, again, the fact that they just announced May 5th leads me to believe why wouldn't you just say Easter weekend? But hey, maybe because it would still be 2 months off of Quantumania. It's not like they're too close.
And I'm not being like, this is what I feel. Like I said, tin hat theory. Yeah. Like, if it happens, you can say that you heard it here first. And then I'll be like, I believed that statement the whole time I said it. But yeah, grain of salt, tin hat theory.
Sure.
So do we just want to jump into it?
Before we get into final thoughts, I just wanted to, again, since you've only seen it the once, yes. I just want to point out one small cameo that it took me a few times to find. But one, Mark Hamill is actually in this special.
Is he, though? Because a lot of people were like, I don't think that's him. Even Mark Hamill's kid was like, no, that's not him, like on Twitter.
It's a Mark Hamill lookalike, then.
It is.
It absolutely looks like him. And it's a good shout out to the Christmas, to the Star Wars Christmas specials.
Yes.
If it's not him, it's a really fucking good lookalike.
That's after the bar scene, right? When they're sitting on the stoop?
No, it's actually he's on nowhere, actually. It's while it's after the Kevin Bacon reveal on Nowhere to Peter, and while he's going to the ship, and while they're taking down all the decorations, the Santa's kind of deflating. Okay. And he's drinking a bottle, and then the Santa kind of falls on him. Again, it very much looks like Mark Hamill. I mean, even if it's a Mark Hamill lookalike, it's the same thing. It's a reference. It's an Easter egg.
That's fair. So.
But yes, Brian, please give me your final thoughts on the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special.
I really liked it. This has proven that Disney needs to do more of these special features, more of these like 1 hour, 45 minute like specials, because they're 2 for 2 so far. Werewolf by Night was great. This was also great. It opens up the possibility of, you know, doing some of these like obscure, maybe like C-level Marvel characters in their own thing, or expanding on something that's more popular. It can give you the opportunity of, which we'll get into more next week, but maybe taking some things, instead of trying to cram everything into one movie, maybe being like, we're going to do what we need to do in this movie, and then we'll give you another 45 minutes to do some like small cleanup wrap up stuff and a special if you need to, or if you want to add some more to that over here, you can do that. I like that these special features kind of give us, or these special presentations, whatever they call them. I like that the possibilities and the doors that they potentially open, but I had a lot of fun with this. It's not my favorite thing in MCU. It's not my favorite thing in Phase 4. Am I upset that it exists, though? No. Like, I love it for what it is. I got some audible good laughs out of it. And afterwards, I was like, that was a good, fun time. Like, I didn't feel like that was a waste of 45 minutes. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot.
You're obviously wrong. It's the best thing ever. And I obviously very much enjoyed it. This is like a 10 out of 10 thing for me. This is very close to like, this is at least top 5 in like Marvel Phase 4 for me. Like, this is so good. But to me, it felt like the Guardians since, for the first time since Guardians Volume 2. I can understand where you're coming from, where there felt like a disconnect in the other movies where they were featured. But this was, maybe it's just because there wasn't enough time spent on them in the other movies. Maybe that's why. But no, this one, I mean, and not only was this just a fun holiday special just to put out, and it was great, but like, there's also huge stuff. Like, we kind of talked about, like, I speculated that we were going to get Gamora, because that feels like a big reveal that you don't want to put into this third movie where you already have a lot going on. We talked about like revealing a lot and setting up the third movie so that you don't have as much to reveal in that movie, where they bought Nowhere from the Collector. Mantis is, as a lot of people speculated, Peter's sister. And I think both of those are going to play into the plot of Volume 3, which, again, we're going to dive into the trailer for that in a little bit here. But
Cosmo's now on the team, which
Cosmo's on the team. Huge.
We've got two animal type creatures on the team now. The trailer, which we'll get to, introduces a third. So I won't be surprised if we get like a mini like animal type team up in volume three. And so yeah, we got Cosmo as an addition now to the team, which I think is a good MCU overall building point too.
Oh, I completely agree. We see her in the trailer as well. But like the fact that they now have a home base of Nowhere when they're being hunted is, that's an obvious setup to me as someone who is like diehard Guardians. That's an obvious setup. Adam Warlock's going to show up almost in the first 5 minutes of this movie. Hey, I know where you are, because you guys are just living on Nowhere now. You're not just on a ship roaming the universe. Now you're actually living somewhere. Now I know where to find you. But also, Rocket, it, at the same time, at some point in the movie, I don't know what's going to trigger this, but he's looking for someone who just so happens to have a home planet, which I believe is the High Evolutionary. Again, we're going to talk to that. But like, there's good parallels there. And then there's Mantis revealing that she is Ego's daughter, which I think is bigger than saying that you're Quill's sister, because I think, again, there obviously wasn't a connection to the light with Mantis, because otherwise he wouldn't have needed Peter to do his big plan. But I believe that there is some sort of connection where now that they're on the head of a Celestial, Mantis, the daughter of a Celestial, Peter, the son of a Celestial, I think there's some connection where Mantis can harness some power and maybe give Peter his Celestial powers back. I think there's a chance because, again, bigger picture with Kang, I think as where Peter was a big reason that Endgame happened, you know, breaking Thanos out of the trance, I think there's a good, I think that there can be a really good redemption arc where Peter is the Celestial that goes against Kang and can kind of help the rest of the Avengers through the Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars.
It's a good theory.
Yeah.
I can back that.
All right, cool.
Trailer time.
Trailer time.
You want to bring us into this too, since I'm sure you watched this 50 times and I've watched it probably 3.
Not 50, but I've watched it a few times. Yeah, this one, again, I've kind of mentioned a few of the things already, but they visit a planet where it's obvious that someone has been experimenting on animals and trying to make living creatures out of it. It's obvious that the High Evolutionary made this planet. I can't remember what the planet's called in the comics, like Otherworld or something like that, Half World, can't remember. But I think it's very obvious that this is a planet where Rocket came from. The High Evolutionary obviously made a lot of these characters, a lot of these people on this planet. They speak a different language, but it's very Earth-centric. Like, they're wearing suits and fucking their street signs and their houses. It looks like New York, but it's not New York. The animals. It's obviously the High Evolutionary. I think Rocket eventually goes there, and that's the Guardians looking for them, because if you look, Rocket's not in that scene. There's a scene, like you mentioned, where Lila, the otter, Rocket's significant other, they meet up again. She has a claw hook, which, again, later in the trailer, we see dripping blood at one point. I don't even know where to begin theorizing with that one. I think the High Evolutionary looks super cool. I can't remember the actor's name, but he's from Peacemaker. He's the guy who turns out to be an alien. Spoiler for Peacemaker.
Yep, yep.
He's great actor, so I'm very excited for that. Again, shocker, he's in a James Gunn movie. But what else happened in this trailer? Fuck, I don't even know.
I love the comic accurate suits, which now I was just thinking before this trailer came out, I was like looking in my geek room that I record in, and I went kind of heavy on the Marvel Legends recently, because we'll talk about Phase 4 next week. But while I didn't love all of the shows and the movies, I loved a lot of the characters that were introduced. And so I was like, I love these characters. I need to buy their figures. And looking at all of the figures that I have in my room now, I'm like, maybe I should ease up a little bit. And then I see this trailer where they're all in their comic accurate suits, and I'm like, they're going to release all the Guardians in those suits for Marvel Legends, and now I'm going to pick up every single one of them because they're so cool. When they land on the planet, I know we've seen it already in the special, but I love that the trailer definitely emphasizes how large the Bowie is, how big that
ship is. Oh, it's huge. It's like a three-tiered ship. It's
massive.
Awesome.
It's massive. Awesome. And I love that Drax like just nails that little girl in the face with the dodgeball, which then fucking gets everybody hilarious. To turn on them. Yep. And I love that he's laughing hysterically until he gets hit in the face. Yep. Classic Drax scene.
So big. I think one of the biggest things in this trailer, Gamora, just casually, here's Gamora, she's back. But I think it's, again, I think the common theory out there is that she's kind of leaving her own brand of Ravagers out there. She went and did her own thing, but eventually I do
is
think
that we a see- theory I thought that was like,
is that confirmed?
I thought it was confirmed.
I don't know.
I The way that I heard it, I thought that that was like a plot point of the movie where I was like, oh, that's really interesting if she's leading her own Ravagers.
I think it's very interesting.
She does show up later in the trailer with the Guardians.
In a couple different spots, actually, if you really look close enough.
And Marvel definitely trained us all the way back to Infinity War where you can't trust these trailers because there are things that are taken out of clips and scenes and trailers that are significant to the movie. There are things that are added. There are multiple Guardians throughout this trailer that look to be either dead or dying or both.
Or crying next to someone who is
dead, dying, or both.
Yes, yes.
I don't think we're going to get the majority of the team killed off, but I do think that you're going to have a couple that are going to drop by the end of this movie.
Can I give you my theories?
Yes.
I don't know. This is the most confident I've felt on a Marvel theory and this is one that I came up with after watching the trailer, before listening to everyone else. I don't even know. I can't remember if anyone else has shared the sentiment. I think Drax is dead. Dave Bautista has said several times that he's pretty much done with the character. You can tell he's not staying in shape for the character anymore, which he's said multiple times that he doesn't want to. I mean, he wore a shirt in the holiday special. He's wearing shirts in the trailers. That's why they have the full uniforms.
He's in his mid-50s, which he does not look.
High mid-50s.
Yes. And so... Yes.
I'm not blaming him at all.
That. No, I 100% agree. Especially because like during filming of this movie, he had many interviews where he talked about like this being his last Marvel project ever. When they wrapped filming, he had a very big heartfelt tweet that went out about like how this is it. Like he's done with Drax. He just wrapped up his final thing for Marvel. So the fact that he's very much been vocal about this, I would agree. I think he's going to be one of the ones that's not making it out of this movie. There's a shot in the trailer where Gamora, the scene where Gamora is seen with the Guardians, they're helping Drax. That like it's her and I think it might be Nebula. There are two people that are helping Drax like walk off screen. And he's got like this, like he's got a marking on his chest that doesn't look very good. And the fact that they're helping him like limp away, I think that's a scene that could be like a red herring, but I don't think it's a red herring. And so I don't think he's making it out of this movie.
No. And again, I think it ties into the Mantis Drax scene where he loses the little green man and she says something along the lines of I held on to mine or you didn't hold whatever there. I think there's going to be, obviously I think Mantis and Drax, they paired them together. There's been that connection. There's going to be some sort of similarity to him passing. I get like where he sacrifices himself, where he, like saves her, that kind of thing. Like that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Speaking of Mantis, did she show up at all in the trailer?
Yeah, she's there a few times.
I don't even remember seeing her.
Yeah, so she's in there.
Like, maybe she goes too.
Because I think the Guardian special is like Mantis. Like that's her. This is here's her character. Like here's a little bit more about her powers. She's a good fighter. She's Peter's sister. Like that's her. And now she can be the supporting character again. But there can be more weight behind the fact that Drax is dying.
Or they're building up this character to be like, hey, we're gonna make you really care about her now. To
no, no, she's not dead. I'm firm on my belief here.
I could see, I'm just picturing you walking out of Guardians 3 and texting me, be like, damn it, Brian, it's your fault. She's dead.
Don't kill Pom. Pom's great. She needs to stay in the MCU. I think Rocket is leaving the Guardians. I do not think he's dying. I think he will leave with Lila. I think at some point they will go off and do something. They will reunite during this movie. They will, I don't think they'll quote unquote defeat the High Evolutionary. God, I fucking hope they don't kill the High Evolutionary. Stop killing off your villains, Marvel. Just send them off somewhere. But like, they need to defeat him. And then I think Rocket and Lila need to go back to this planet of, you know, like experiments that this guy has been working on, where they came from, and they need to almost lead slash free slash like help this planet basically, and help these creatures that the High Evolutionary has. And that's going to be his mission. Rocket is also going to be, I think Cosmo is replacing Rocket as like the, you know, the quasi animal on the Guardians. And it'll be Cosmo and Groot together. Come on. That's going to be great.
I don't think Rocket's making it out of this movie either.
I think it's too obvious in the trailer that he dies. Do you know what I mean? The trailer is trying to tell you that Rocket dies. I don't. So to me, that means he's not.
I get where you're coming from, but I can definitely see him being one of the ones, because he's a raccoon. Got a much shorter lifespan than your typical person. Yes, he's been worked on and augmented, and you can make that argument, but I still think he's got a shorter lifespan than most. There was, and again, this is me bringing in my Marvel knowledge. There was a comic book run a few years ago. Rocket didn't make it out of that run, and that was like a big focal point of that run, was all about the mortality of the character, thinking about like past mistakes, wondering if he like lived up to the life that he could have lived up, and all of that stuff, which I feel like could definitely be an element of a movie about a bunch of, I don't want to say anti-heroes, but like not good guys, but good guys.
Yeah.
Questioning, you know, past decisions, wondering if they led a good life, and pondering over, you know, and especially because like he was, like we mentioned already a few times in this episode, he's one of the few Guardians that didn't get dusted away. So he had that 5 years to, you know, think about all of this big, heavy life stuff.
He's also then 5 years older than all of them now.
Yes. And then to put it in the perspective, too. I think he's gone. I think Batista's gone. And I think maybe one other person. I don't know who that's going to be. But my last theory about Guardians 3 is I think they're going to disband at the end of the movie. I think the remaining ones are going to go their separate ways. Gunn and Marvel have definitely said that this is like the last iteration of this team. Yes, I get what you're miming at me for podcast listeners here who can't see what's going on. I think they disband at the end of this movie, and then they're called back together either in Kang Dynasty or Secret Wars.
So real quick to wrap up on my Rocket theory, the whole Guardians plot from the beginning has been all these individuals finding family. Peter has now found an actual sister after being disappointed in his mom passed away, and his dad obviously being an asshole and he had to kill him. He now has found a sister. I think Rocket has been the counterpoint to Peter this entire time, where he has also now found this family. He had a really special bond with Thor as well, but now that has kind of passed along too. The fact that he's able to now find family as well in Lila, I think, again, they are going to have a greater purpose past just him dying at the end of this movie. I don't know if I don't think the movie has enough emotional weight to kill multiple characters. That's my only thing. So to me, Drax dying and Rocket leaving, he's gone. Like, never, maybe to come back and like fucking, again, he doesn't have a long lifespan. Like, I don't want him to come back unless it's like a real quick, like, oh, I know someone on that planet that can help us with this one thing, you know, that kind of plot point. But like, other than that, Rocket is, he's written off, but yeah, I think a satisfying conclusion to his plot is better than him passing away. So yeah, that's my biggest thing. as far as them disbanding, there's that shot in the trailer of all the Guardians walking. There's, you know, it's the shot of the team walking towards the camera.
But in that shot, Quill's being carried. That's one of the red herring shots.
That's a different. I think there's multiple shots because yes, that is a red herring as well. I don't think Quill's dying. There's too much story to tell between Quill and Gamora.
He's dying. I wouldn't be surprised though if Chris Pratt was done with Marvel after Secret Wars.
That's fair. Like I said, I hope he becomes a Celestial again and he's the one to defeat everything, but maybe he makes the sacrifice play. That'd be kind of cool too. Where was I going? Oh, so I think there's another shot where they're all walking. Maybe it's the same shot. I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure that there's another shot where everyone's walking and it's like the full team. I'm pretty sure Gamora, again, I'd have to watch it again. To me, there's space on either side for potentially multiple characters. I think by the end of this movie, Adam Warlock will join the Guardians. He will basically replace Drax, and Cosmo will ultimately replace Rocket, and it'll be kind of the same team, but just with those two added in. Again, a new Gamora, where that relationship is going to have to bud. Maybe Nebula goes off on her own thing, too. Maybe she's the one that ends up running nowhere. I think there's multiple ways where some of these characters can leave and not die. I think it's a mistake if they kill more than one character because it kind of lessens both of them.
I've got another tin hat theory.
Sure.
I think there's going to be another character introduced in this movie that hasn't been talked about yet as far as this movie goes.
Okay.
I think we're going to get Nova.
Oh, you're right.
Because didn't the showrunner of Moon Knight say that he was going to be working on a Nova series for Disney Plus? Didn't he announce that like not that long ago? Like he said it, but it wasn't like
there was something about a Nova. It does sound familiar.
So, and Nova is very integral with the Guardians, the cosmic universe stuff. So I can see him like being a part of this movie, especially because like they introduced the fact in Infinity War that Xandar is gone. Mm-hmm. So the Nova Corps is gone.
I think they're damaged. I think there's room for them to rebuild in the 7 years that we've probably more than that since we've seen them. I think
the Nova Corps, yes. Nova's got a soft spot for me. I haven't read a whole lot of like the Annihilation stuff, like the cosmic comic stuff, but like his parts, I don't know how, but I got my hands on like his parts of that in the books. And in the books, at that point in time, the whole Nova Corps is wiped off, and Richard Rider has the power of the entire Nova Corps. So he's like OP superpowered, and he's going like across the universe trying to like save planets, protect people. Basically do a one-man army show, and he gets to the point where he realizes he can't do it and he starts building his own team. I would love to see like an OP Nova like show up in this movie.
Sure.
And then like realize either at the end of this movie or at the end of Kang Dynasty or Secret Wars that he needs to disperse the power and rebuild the Nova Corps, and that's what the series could be about. But I'd love to see the introduction of that character in this movie, and I think it'd be a cool addition.
To me, that smells like a post-credit scene, but I like it.
Post-credit scene, it could be like a mid-movie or like third act like appearance.
Yeah. So I'm also looking through this trailer just silently as I'm listening to you there. The scene where Peter's being carried away and they're all walking towards the camera, right? To me, looks like it's on Nowhere. So in my head, I'm building the plot. Fucking Adam Warlock comes to Nowhere, attacks Peter. Boom. He's like critical condition. I don't know why they're cinematically walking away or walking towards the camera, but I think Rocket's going to be like, I actually know somewhere where we could probably save his life. And then that's where maybe he has to go to the High Evolutionary. I don't know. I think that I'm just so excited for this movie. There's so much to go into it. I have one final question for you. There's this chunk of the trailer where there's this like weird planet that looks like it's alive and they're jumping in suits that look like they're from Among Us. I like, what the fuck is this? It's the one part of the trailer I have no clue what it is, and it's almost making me more excited.
I know I've got quite a bit of Marvel Comics comic book knowledge, but I'm in the same boat as you. Like, a lot of people made like the Power Ranger jokes.
Yep.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Fair enough. Well, we'll leave that one for the review of the movie in fucking May, I guess. Yeah. Anything else that you want to mention?
I think that about covers it. Yeah, I'm excited for this movie. I think it's going to be an emotional ride. I think there's like, you're going to get the James Gunn humor in there too, but like, I think it's going to be a lot heavier of a Guardians movie than we're used to. I think that there's going to be a lot of things coming that people aren't going to see, us included. I do think that there's going to be one or two team members that die. And I think I still stand behind, you know, everybody kind of going their own separate ways at the end of this movie and then maybe being called back together later on. But yeah, I'm excited for this movie too. I'm excited to see James Gunn get the opportunity to tell the final chapter of his Guardians trilogy that he wanted to tell. And it looks great.
Yeah,
2023 is going to be a great year for movies.
It's so good. We will get into that, I'm sure, at some point in the next few episodes. Yeah, I'm excited. I obviously, as a Guardians fan, this is going to be like, I'm not prepared for this emotionally, and I won't be come May 5th. There's absolutely no way, but I at the same time cannot wait. I can't wait for Peter Quill to try to have to lead a new team of, you know, a god who was made by the Sovereign and a space dog who has a talking collar like Doug from Up. Yes, no, I'm honestly very excited. I love the world that has been created with the Guardians. I love how crucial they've been to not only in the Infinity Saga, but I believe what they will be doing in the Multiverse Saga as well. Yeah, it's just awesome to see. And I love the love that they're getting right now because they deserve it. All of the actors, all of the writers, all of the producers, everything that's involved. The Guardians of the Galaxy have been, I think, a very underrated part of the MCU.
That'll do it for our conversation this week. Before we can wrap up this episode, we need to jump into our favorite segment of this podcast, the best stuff recommendations of the week. I'll go first. I'm going to recommend a movie that mentioned once already in this podcast, a movie that I feel like not a lot of people have seen, an underrated movie, an early movie in James Gunn's career, Super. I don't know if this is streaming anywhere at this time. It was on Netflix for quite a while. I could see it living on Amazon Prime, but this is a great movie. I love this movie. It's quirky. It's weird. It's hilarious. It's got Rainn Wilson, who played Dwight in The Office. He's the main character. He is struggling in life after his girlfriend, played by Liv Tyler, leaves him for a drug dealer, played by Kevin Bacon. And he decides that he needs to save her from her addiction, save her from Kevin Bacon. So he decides that he is going to become his own superhero, the Crimson Bolt. And he is going to learn how to be a superhero so that he can save his girlfriend. It's, like I said, it's weird. It's quirky. It has Elliot Page back when they were Ellen Page as the sidekick Bolty. It's kind of like a love letter to comic books. It definitely feels like this is the movie that Kevin Feige watched and was like, yep, I want this guy to do a Marvel movie for me. It's hilarious to see Dwight try to be a superhero. because he very much has like Dwight tendencies to him. He's got some epic catchphrases like shut up crime and everybody give up. He takes down crime with a monkey wrench, like literally beats people with a monkey wrench. It's great fun. There's some comic book references in there. There's some beautiful stuff in there too. It gets vulgar at times. The gore is like kind of goes to a level where you don't expect at times. It's definitely a rated R movie. And this movie was where the Peacemaker intro originated from, because this movie, the opening credits of this movie is a dance number musical with all of the characters in the movie, but it's animated. Like, it's not like live action like Peacemaker was, but it's the same idea, but it's like the first draft of what Peacemaker intro eventually became. So if anything, watch it just for that reason alone. I'm looking up right now.
You sold me just on that.
To see if it's streaming anywhere.
It looked like Amazon Prime is the only place you can really...
Amazon Prime, like I said, that would be the place. It's on Pluto TV, I guess.
Oh. And
Sling TV, if you have those.
Interesting.
Or you can buy it from Apple TV for $3.99.
I'm just looking at this. Nathan Fillion, Linda Cardellini, Sean Gunn, Michael Roker, Greg Henry, Kevin Bacon, Liv Tyler. Like, yeah, absolutely, I'm in.
It's awesome. It's one of the few DVDs that I still own. because that's how long ago this movie came out. It came out in 2010. So yep. I bought it. I remember seeing the trailer for it, and I was like, I need to see this movie. And then it was such a small movie that it was playing at like an indie movie theater in Milwaukee. And this was really? Back when I was in school in Oshkosh, and I drove all the way to Milwaukee to see this movie. Rob Zombie plays Satan in a scene.
I was just going to say.
It's a lot of fun. I have a soft spot for this movie. I love it. It's great. I highly recommend it for my best stuff this week.
I remember seeing this promoted, and I don't know why I didn't see it, because I very much wanted to at the time. So I will be watching it in the next week or two. So thank you for that. My recommendation is a movie that came out this year and is now just recently in the past week dropped onto a streaming service. So I finally got to watch it. Nope. By Jordan Peele.
Oh, there you go. It's on Peacock, right?
It is on Peacock. What a good movie. Oh my God. I mean, Jordan Peele has outdone himself again. I still haven't seen Us, which is on me. I need to go watch that. But just the suspense and the horror that he can drive you through without like a jump scary movie is just like he's obviously at the top of his craft with this genre. He knows what he's doing. He will obviously cast his favorite actors, which is fine, even though it'll take him out of a Black Panther movie that maybe would have used him in a, that's fine.
he can still show up in Black Panther 3 or the Wakanda TV show.
Listen, his character is going to be crucial for the third one, so he better show up. Anyway, no, this movie was phenomenal. I think the depiction of the spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, fucking skip 30 seconds real quick. The depiction of the alien is fucking awesome. Like, also the fact that it's an alien, just a really cool reveal. Like, I love it. I love the setup. I love the random backstories, the random subplot lines, like where you have the one actor who had the run-in with the monkey. I can't remember with the chimpanzee. I can't remember his name. A lot of people complain about that as a subplot line, but like it makes sense. It, like, there's so many connections with the eye line and the paranormal stuff happening, and just that one just snap happening. Like, there's, it's just, it's so good. And again, what I love, and some people again will complain about this being lazy, but it's like it's an open-ended, it's a vague interpretation towards the end. But he does, he obviously does it on purpose so that the viewer can theorize, so that people like me and you who have podcasts can talk about this movie five weeks in a row, where we can say, oh, I think this is why the, you know, I think this is where the alien comes from, or blah, blah, blah. You know, like, I think there's open interpretation, so anyone watching this movie can see what's happening and just create their own story in their head as well. Like, that's the whole point. If you're just told a closed ended story, it can kind of just maybe disappoint. It can maybe leave more to be desired. If you leave it a little bit open-ended, there's so much to be desired from that. And I think that's just it. You leave the audience wanting more. And that's really, but we're never going to get a sequel to this. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe the money will come calling at some point, but this movie was just, I mean, it exceeded my expectations. I knew it was going to be good going into it because I had heard so many people talk about it, but I was so pleased coming out of it.
I best stopped it when it first came out. That yep. was, I saw it not too long after it came out. I think I went opening weekend actually, cause I heard all the buzz behind it and I didn't want things to get spoiled for me.
Yep.
It's one of my favorite movies of the year. Yep. And it's definitely my favorite of the trilogy so far of Jordan Peele's movies. I talked about it back when I best stopped it, that Us was okay. It was fine. I liked the first half of that movie better than the second half. And Get Out, I know a lot of people love. I've only seen it the once, and I definitely need to revisit it because the first time I watched it, that movie didn't, like, I wasn't the audience for that movie. That movie didn't.
I think you should rewatch it now.
It didn't click for me, and I remembered being very annoyed that the movie ended with like a joke. Like, sure. after they went through everything, the cop was very jokey, and then that's how the movie ended, and I was very turned off by that.
Sure.
But yeah, I loved this movie. It was one of the few movies that my girlfriend and I had a legit like 20 minute long conversation afterwards, just like breaking down the movie, talking about the plot points. There were bits and pieces of the movie where I was like, I'm not quite sure what he was going for here. This is how I interpreted it. How did you take it? And like, even just listening to the other people that talk about this movie that have seen it, everyone has their own different interpretations on this movie. There's not like one correct answer. It's very much this is what you're seeing. How do you take it? How do you interpret it? How do you connect some of these plot points, these scenes together that like you talked about, the side story with the TV show with the monkey is very prevalent to this movie, where any random person who's got half their brain turned off during this movie is like, what is this even doing in this movie? Where if you're fully engrossed in watching this movie, you're like, this makes sense. Like, this definitely fits the same plot points and themes that the rest of this movie is telling you and describing you. It's got the same messages. This was definitely one of my favorite movies of the year. I've only watched it the once. I don't have Peacock, so
I will lend you a login if you want to go watch it, because I have Peacock because it has The Office and Parks and Rec and everything, Psych and all the great TV shows. But yes, if you want to, it's so good.
I might take you up on that. Otherwise, it's definitely one of the movies where it came out too close to Black Friday for it to be like on sale. And I was kind of hoping that it would have came out sooner so that I could have gotten it on sale during Black Friday. But maybe next year. Otherwise, like, I know they've got the 3-pack. of like the three Jordan Peele movies on Blu-ray that I've been like eyeing up that I'm like, maybe I'll pull the trigger on that. So
there you go.
We'll see. But yeah, great recommendation. Love that movie. We have Ben Your Midwesterners. That's MIDWESTERNERDS. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter while it's still around at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to MidwesternNerds@gmail.com. You can find and stream, listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you stream and listen to your podcasts. Please remember to rate and review, share and subscribe, be kind, please rewind. All of these things help this podcast to continue to improve and grow and be the Midwestern Nerds podcast that you, the listener, want to listen to. Next week, big episode next week. Probably, if I had to guess right now, will be a multi-part episode just because I feel like there's going to be a lot of stuff that we're going to want to talk about, discuss, and break down. We're going to talk about Phase 4 as a whole. We're going to go into the projects. We're going to give our individual rankings of where we put these projects. We're going to talk about what worked, what didn't work. And we're also going to talk about future of Marvel, what we want to see, what we think we're going to see, the directions that we feel like should happen with the MCU after this phase, which was Phase 4. So all of that's going to be next week. And let's be honest, it's probably going to be like the next 2 or 3 weeks after that, because I can see this being like a 2-hour conversation of just breaking it down, at least 2 hours, because there's like 13 projects alone in Phase 4, which spanned of 2 years.
Plus, there's not much else to talk about nowadays.
That's very true. That's very true. We're going to do our end of the year wrap up stuff with the end of the year. We might throw in some Christmas stuff in there too. And then we got some special surprises of just like end of the year wrap up stuff in general that will either happen at the very end of this year or at the very beginning of next. So for your Midwestern Nerds this week, I've been Brian Stoffel.
And I am Groot. I've been Kyle Olson.
And whether it's beer, brats, comics, or the spirit of Christmas,
keep it nerdy.